Hi, welcome to the podcast.
Is that your radio voice?
No, it's all nasally.
It was nasally.
Yes.
Do it again.
Hi, welcome to the Washington State Combined Fun Drive podcast for good podcasts.
I like all of this gesturing. Like, you did a lot
of body
movement.
I know, that's why we should really do blocks.
Upper body movement, yeah.
I really have to get into it and twerk my body. I don't know.
Never say twerk your body to me again.
I'm sorry. Triggered.
Thank you. Welcome to episode 2, season 4, Podcast for Good. My name is Heather Lucas. I am the fiscal and policy coordinator. Yes, I am. I was confused for a moment.
What do I do? You forget your position when we're on these podcasts.
Well, I mean, I don't say it out loud a lot, but also, do I care? Not really. I'm not a big title person.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not a big title person. So if you have a title, I don't care.
That's why I always just say I handle marketing and development.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Jerrica Ferguson.
What do you do?
I handle marketing and development for the Washington State Combined Fun Drive.
Yes, exactly. Welcome to the Combined Fun Drive podcast for good.
Good.
Okay, wow. So today we are talking youth symphonies. Dr. Paul Elliott Cobbs, he is the music director for Tacoma Youth Symphony Association, came in and talked to us about Tacoma Youth Symphony Association. And I don't know about you, but as he was talking, I was just like, oh man, I want to be in a youth symphony.
Me too.
I was like, if I have children,
I'm definitely putting him in Tacoma Youth.
No, not if I have children. I want to now.
Oh, you now
as
want
an
children.
Adult. No, I don't want children. I want to do the symphony. Forget the children. Okay. Get rid of the children part. I want to play music. That's what I want.
Okay, so you just want to play music, but the children can still be part of the symphony.
Yeah, they can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the whole point
but
of the podcast.
But we're talking about me first.
Oh, okay. So you first. Sorry.
Me first, yes.
You
so,
first. Got it.
Yeah, as he was talking, it's a great interview, but like, I was just like, I really want to start doing music. I used to.
What did you play?
Well, that's the question of the podcast.
Well, can I ask you, what did you play as a child?
Yes. So when I was a kid, I was in middle school band. I didn't realize
you didn't
do
elementary school band.
No, because we didn't have. I mean, I moved to like 13 elementary schools because military family. But when we got settled in Washington and I started going to school in Shelton, I remember when I was in fifth grade, we all got called into the cafeteria. A.K.A. the gym.
Fifth grade's elementary school.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about still. Listen to the story. So we all got called in and as like small groups. And I must not have been paying attention that day.
Shocked.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know what we're doing. Why we're doing this. But we all get called in. And then there was on the stage, there were all these little stations. And they had the part of the musical instrument that you play into, right? So, like, there was one for, like, trumpets, trombones. There was one for woodwinds. There was, like, the flute bit, right? And then the flute bit. Yes, that's a technical term. And then percussion instruments. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but, you know, like, I remember the trombone part. I was like, oh, it's too tickly. And then eventually, like, got to the woodwinds. I was like, okay, great.
Clarinet.
I didn't realize I'd signed up for clarinet to play clarinet in sixth grade. So when I came home and, like, eventually realized, I was like, oh.
No.
Oh, no.
Hey, Mom and Dad.
Guess
I need
what?
An instrument.
And I need you to get it for me. So in middle school band, I was in marching band, and it was, like, the actual concert band as well. It was because, you know, two in one. But, yeah, I played clarinet. And then because I was a cool kid in the late 90s in high school, I was like, yeah, I'm going to play guitar. So I started to, and then I just... lost interest because I was like, I didn't have the discipline anymore to play music.
I get you.
So, but I definitely want to play guitar and piano now.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Cobbs. How about you? What instruments do you play or could you play?
I originally started out fifth grade band in elementary school.
Yeah.
I originally was going to play the trumpet because my brother played trumpet and I always copied my brother in everything he did.
Yeah.
And then, I saw that, like, cool kids are playing the saxophone, and so I was like, peace out, trumpets, and I moved over to the saxophone, which I regret to this day, because even though I really loved playing the saxophone, it was super fun, I really wish, thinking about now, that like me and my brother could have actually played the trumpet together.
Oh yeah.
Because I always thought he just was such a great trumpet player, and mm-hmm. like my parents were always like, "Your brother is such a great trumpet player," and I was like, "You've never said that about me playing saxophone."
Ah. So you wanted the accolades.
Yes,
too.
I did. So I got none of that, but I only played fifth and sixth grade, mm-hmm. and then I played keyboard in middle school.
Okay.
I like that because my grandparents, we grew up playing piano.
Okay.
And so I liked playing the keyboard because I thought it was more fun because you could like manipulate the sounds.
Yeah.
It's really what I
like. It's got those little things.
Yeah.
You can,
I felt like I could really like be super creative with the different sounds of being able to make my own songs. Where mm-hmm. the piano, I felt like I weirdly couldn't do that. I don't know why. And then I went to college and I just played around on a guitar. Yeah. I would not say I know how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
But out of all those instruments, I still feel most comfortable on a piano and a guitar.
Yeah. And see, like, in college, I completely, like, I had a guitar, and I brought it with me. Like, I didn't bring it to places. Like, hey, roll in with my guitar, like a weirdo. But drums. I had a moment of drums. Like, we played a band show.
Band show.
Me and my band.
What's your band name?
Burner. We were a band for one night, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
We had practices, and then one performance,
one night band.
And then we were like, all right, we're good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, hot minute.
I will, though, going back to why we're here for the podcast, Dr. Cobb's definitely, I was like, as he was saying here, I was like, I really want to go, one, watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I really, like, want to participate somehow, even though I'm not musically inclined at anyway. But it was a really good interview.
Yeah. So, speaking of that interview, we will just head right into it. Segue, very nice. This is our interview with Dr. Paul Elliott Cobbs, music director with Tacoma Youth Symphony Association. So we're here with Dr. Paul Elliott Cobbs. He's the music director with Tacoma Youth Symphony Association. Dr. Cobbs, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, and good morning. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Can you give us a little history about Tacoma Youth Symphony Association and what your organization does for the community?
Sure. The Tacoma Youth Symphony Association began in 1963. So we're coming up close to our 60th anniversary.
Very nice.
And we've serviced the greater Puget Sound area for that amount of time. At present, we have five orchestras.
Okay.
Plus a touring orchestra. We've toured in Washington, D.C., Carnegie Hall twice.
Really?
Most recently in L.A.
Wow.
We've been to Boston and received standing ovations
everywhere
we've gone. So it's a wonderful organization to be a part of.
So as far as you said you serve the Puget Sound area, like you're based in Tacoma.
We're based in Tacoma, but we've had students come from as far as Western Washington University.
Okay.
Central Washington University in Ellensburg,
and
as far south as Olympia,
mm-hmm.
as well as Bainbridge
mm-hmm.
and Vashon Island as well.
So can you tell a little bit about actually how you got started?
Well, this was a long time ago. I was previously with the Seattle Youth Symphony, and I was one of their conductors and had a wonderful time. I was with them for 8 years. And had a great time, and I said, well, you know, it's time to move on and just deal with adults. So I said, I love those kids, but it's time to move on and deal with adults. And so I left, and I got a call from the from Harry Davidson, who was the music director at that time for Tacoma Youth Symphony. He said, Paul, I'm going back east to do some work. Could you come and cover for me for a quarter?
Okay.
So I said, sure. So I came down, and it was a great experience. I liked the kids liked me, had a great concert, shook hands, gave hugs, goodbye.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, the next year, Harry decided that his job was going to be permanent, and they needed to find an interim conductor while they did their worldwide search. And so they said, could you please do that for us? I said, okay. So I was the interim conductor, and after the first concert, they said, you know, you should put your hat in the ring. You should apply. I said, Well, thank you. I really like it down here, but you know, I'm envisioning going, moving on and, mm-hmm. and conducting professional orchestras. And so they said, are you sure? I said, yes. Well, time went on. Mm-hmm. And the president said, well, you know, just, you know, this is something you should do. And I said, well, I tell you what, you're interviewing all of these great conductors, but at the end, if you don't find who you want, then I'll put my hat in the ring. And so it was fine. Then came the spring, and they had a very fine applicant from Boston.
Okay.
Very fine applicant from L.A. And so the president said, why don't you just do the same audition just so that the kids can compare you with these other three? I said, okay. And so I did. Then I got a call after that, said, congratulations, you're the new music director.
Oh, my God.
And one of the kids said, when they announced it, she looked at me and said, I told you we were going to keep you.
Oh, so that's great.
It was just a wonderful feeling because it's like a big family down
there. Yeah.
The students, the staff,
uh-huh.
everybody was like a big family.
Yeah.
It's student centric.
Okay.
Meaning the students are the most important part. Everything we do, we say, so what's best for the students?
Yeah.
We have adults who make a lot less than they could elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
but they know they're giving a lot of help to these students. Students of all races, all religions, all kinds. There's gender equity. And it's the kind of place that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you feel good about what you're doing because you know you're a positive influence. You know, kids are taught to get along with each other.
Yeah.
Regardless to the financial, regardless to gender, there's a certain structure and there's a certain leadership structure. And you have to follow. You have to respect each other. You have to support each other. Be a good citizen, and if you're not, then you will be talked to about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, and so beyond the musical part of it, we're building good citizens because these students go on to become our professionals.
Yeah,
they become our politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They become our lawyers and doctors. Now, 35% of them to 50% will be. Professional musicians.
Wow.
But what about the other 50 to 65%? Well, they become community leaders.
Yeah.
And we get correspondence weekly from former students who say, this was the best time of my life. I learned so much. And they still have those friendships from 20, 30 years ago.
Very nice.
That's incredible.
And so we feel good about it.
Yeah.
If you're finding a job to make a lot of money, this is not what you want to do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to make a difference,
this
is fantastic. I remember maybe 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
It was around Martin Luther King's birthday.
Okay.
So here's this 100-piece orchestra, and I was conducting, and this is where our ninth grade orchestra, we call it our junior symphony, because we have, in the five orchestras, that's our middle child. So
okay.
I do the middle one, and I do the oldest one, and they're high school and college students.
Is that the oldest that you go to?
Yes.
What's the youngest?
The youngest, we start in second grade.
Okay.
Okay, great.
And we go all the way up through age 21.
Oh, nice. Wow. Okay.
That's why we have five orchestras,
yeah.
because at each point in your development, both musically and emotionally, this group will fit you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so that middle child, that's eighth grade, ninth grade. That's
an interesting time. Yeah.
And that's why I choose to implant myself.
Okay.
Because if I wait until I see them in 12th grade, then I really don't have any influence on how they come up.
Mm-hmm.
But if I put myself right in the middle, then I see where they're coming from, and I can see where they're going.
Yeah.
And I can make little changes as we
adjust.
Do that.
Yeah.
So I was conducting. And I was looking at them, and I saw dark skin, I saw light skin, I saw red hairs, I saw
dark hairs, some brown eyes and green eyes and blue eyes, and they're all just, you know, sawing away, having a good time and smiling.
Yeah.
And I stopped and I said, this is what Dr. King meant. Yeah. This is his, I said, you are his dream. So they looked at me and looked through me like the average ninth grader does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then went back to bed.
You're like, kids, this is a message.
This is a moment. Listen.
This is a moment. Yeah. And okay. and they went back to their play. To them, it wasn't a big deal because that's what they always do. But to me, and to most adults, when you say we want people to get along and be valued for what they can do, regardless to gender, regardless to ethnicity, they were doing that. But it wasn't a big deal to them because they didn't know anything different.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to stop. I had to tell them. And they looked up politely at me and went, okay. And then they went back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I said, so I went and I told my wife about that, you know, who's the executive director, Loma Cops. And I said, you know, that's what Dr. King meant. But they just looked at me and she said, well, you know, they're used to this. This is what they used to, this is what they're growing up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic because there are very few organizations where someone with limited means can be the principal of a whole violin section because they have the talent.
Right.
Yeah.
They're there because of their talent, not because of their
money.
Could you actually walk us through the concert experience and what performance day feels like for these kids?
Yeah, you know, performance is exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, that we all have uniforms, and they look great in their uniforms, very professional. The younger groups have semesters, which means they have 14 weeks to prepare for a concert.
Okay.
The older groups, they're more professional because they have a quarter system. They normally have about 2 performances per quarter.
Okay. Mm.
So every 5 weeks, they're on stage.
Oh, okay.
And so there is no substitute for experience. By getting out there and performing, they learn how to deal with their nerves.
Sure.
They learn how to be on task, because if you only have 5 weeks to prepare for something, you can't dilly-dally.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, I'll practice later.
Because you can hear the problem if you haven't practiced.
Well, that's exactly right. You can't make excuses. Mm-hmm. You can't, I mean, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't talk around it. You can tell people how wonderful you are. However, when you sit down and you play, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, for the parents and all the friends and teachers who come to the concerts, our concerts are very well attended by friends, family, and the general community. They get to see, you know, what's there.
Yeah.
And if you close your eyes, you hear a much older orchestra than what they are. You have these little ones with their little instruments, but they're playing so well. If you didn't see them, you would think they're
so like an audio recording. You're like, that sounds like a symphony. That's
yes, exactly.
A group of adults.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
A professional symphony.
That's right.
Yeah.
And with our top group, they sound pre-professional.
Yeah.
There are moments where they sound very professional. And then you hear, oh, well, not quite. But then it goes.
It goes right back into
it
good.
Goes right back to a professional
That's
situation.
That's just a little part we got to work on, right?
The concert's like a celebration
of
all the work that we've done
for
the weeks of preparation.
So on the main page for your website, you've got these spots on there for music education, concerts and events, and auditions.
Yes.
And when I was looking at it, I was like, auditions? Like, I was kind of surprised, but it does make sense that you would have auditions. So what is an audition process like?
Everybody auditions every year.
Okay.
For the conductors.
Okay.
We listen to all of our students every year. And that is to ensure
that students are improving.
Okay, so it's kind of like a test in a way?
Right, it's
okay.
a test. What they have to do is come and play a prepared piece.
Okay.
And then the musical part is only, the first few minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll play their prepared piece, and then we'll say, well, how are you? Did you enjoy your experience last year? How's school going?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then we get to know the student.
Yeah.
Not just the musician, but how are things at home?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard your brother went off to college. Are you missing your brother? You know, you begin to see
that.
Yeah.
Also, students progress at different rates. So someone who sat last year,
mm-hmm.
may have caught fire, and all of a sudden, they practice a lot, and their ability has zoomed up.
Yeah.
Well, you want to reward that by placing them higher.
Sure.
That's why we, both new and old students, audition in the summer every year.
Okay.
So we can see who's moving up and who's not. Sometimes they need help.
Yeah.
Let's say the family can't afford private lessons.
Okay.
Most of our kids take private lessons, but some can't.
Yeah.
We have a scholarship fund.
Okay.
We don't want anybody to fall behind because they're not getting the private help.
Yeah.
So we have a scholarship for private lessons. So we say, well, I see you're not taking private lessons. Are you? Is this a time commitment or is it financial?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because you're with them by yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a conductor and them, they can say things mm-hmm. and not feel bad
about
like
it. Confidence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, my father is out of work right now, and we can't afford private lessons.
Yeah.
And I said, well, here's a form. We have scholarships for private lessons. Here's this form. We have scholarships for tuition, too.
Yeah.
Even though our tuition is half of what Seattle's is.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Less than half.
Nice.
And we do that because we want to be affordable.
Yeah.
But even if they can't afford that, we say, here, fill out these scholarships,
mm-hmm.
applications, and we'll do something for you.
Yeah.
Very
That's
nice.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You kind of touched on the beginning, being part of the youth symphony, right, and they're playing musical instruments, these childs learn other skill sets. You mentioned being good citizens.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about these other skills that they're learning, leadership, those kind of different things that you mentioned earlier?
You know, there is a leadership situation. For instance, every section has a principal.
Okay.
And the principal is in charge of making sure everybody knows what in their section knows what to do, making sure that they are carrying their weight. They are the ones who help those who are lagging behind.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who say, well, let's do it this way. Try it this way. So basically, they're mentoring the other students who have less experience. Now, so leadership is not just the ability to play well.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the ability to communicate. Each section has a leader. These leaders have to communicate with each other.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished a chamber concert where all the leaders form groups, little groups, and they worked from September to now, playing in small groups, talking to each other, and that allows them to learn to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So as these guys communicate with each other,
mm-hmm.
they all communicate with their
right.
groups.
Yeah.
And I tell the principals, well, I need this, 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 and this. Go to it. Now, for instance, on Saturday with the youth symphony, we have what we call sectionals, where each section goes out and works together. And this particular type of sectional is student run.
Okay.
Now, most sectionals we have, we bring in professionals from the area and they work with our students. But we have at least one every quarter where the student leaders go out and work with their sections. And that's going quite well.
Okay,
that's great.
Nice.
That's
these
really
same nice. Students, we have so many mentors. These same older students come and work with the younger students after their rehearsal. And so this 12th grader sitting with a little second grader and said, put your finger here, put your finger. And so we have a summer program too. Mm-hmm. And we have two sessions. One is for the younger kids, uh-huh. and one is for the older kids. That's Evergreen Music Festival. And for the older kids, we take over the music building at Central Washington University. Cool. Nice. We have the dorm and everything. Yeah. And so we have a whole week of music, just music history, playing, large, small, music theory. But in the first week, we are at PLU, and that's for grades 2 through 8.
Okay.
A lot of these older kids, in fact, we had about 30 older kids last summer mm-hmm. to come and help out. They're not being paid, but they're mentoring the young ones. Yeah. So they're sitting, here's a 12th grader sitting with a little second grader, and they're playing together. It's amazing how disciplined the little ones are.
Yeah.
When you have 30 older kids all around.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and you can also say, well, if Billy's having trouble, mm-hmm. you can send them out with Mary, and Mary, would you help Billy with this? Mm-hmm. And so they go out together. And I always tell my older kids, I say, you know, with little kids like this, anyone who's past 25 is old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's 25, and then there's old, and then there's off the cliff.
Yeah.
But
it's true.
But with the little ones, if you're 15, if you're 16, if you're 17,
you might still be cool.
Yeah, you're.
They'll listen to you.
That's who they want to be, and so you could see their eyes going, "Yes, whatever you say, I'll do."
Yeah.
So you spoke earlier about like the percentage of kids who are going to become musicians, and then like everybody is going to be like, "Hey, 65%, 50% might be somewhere else." Mm-hmm. But can you speak a little bit about? Do your students and participants move on to music schools and on their way to a music career, like Juilliard?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
We are heavily recruited.
Okay.
We've sent students to Curtis, mm-hmm. To Juilliard, New England Conservatory, all the top conservatories in the country.
Yeah.
All of the universities. In fact, I won an award from Stanford.
Yeah.
And I prize that award, even though I'm from University of Washington. I don't like any Stanford sports.
I have to make that clear right here on the podcast.
Yeah.
But musically.
Yeah.
Different story.
Yeah.
We've sent a lot of students to Stanford.
Okay.
And I got an award for doing that. And University of Michigan, and I make the kids sing the fight song because
nice.
I'm from Michigan. Anyway, we are heavily recruited.
Okay.
Because our students come into the situation already knowing what to do. 45% of freshmen flunk out because they aren't prepared for college. Hmm. I would say close to 100% of our students do just fine.
Yeah.
And in fact, they say, actually, U Symphony was a little bit harder.
Oh, wow.
But they didn't know that because they didn't have anything to compare it with.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So University of Washington, Western Washington, Central Washington University, they're filled with Tacoma U Symphony graduates.
Speaking of that, what is kind of your opinion on Washington State music schools or Tacoma schools as well, like the programs for music?
Yes.
How do you feel about
that? I feel great about that, and this is what I tell my students who want to be professional musicians. Mm-hmm. I said, the most important thing is your private teacher. Yeah, you can have the big names and the big glitter and all of that, but your private teacher and the experiences you're allowed to have are the most important thing. Visit the school, have a lesson with the teacher, see how you feel.
Yeah.
Also, I'm very frank with them. I said, if you go to a Washington State school, you will have the main professor as your private teacher. If you go to a named school outside of Washington, mm-hmm. you may end up with a TA. So if you
take those into account,
right,
you're really practicing with.
If you stay home, you will most probably get into that top orchestra, uh-huh. that top group. If you go away, it may take you 2-3 years to get into that.
Okay.
Wow.
If you stay, it's a lot cheaper because it's an in-state tuition.
Yeah.
If you leave, it's a lot more expensive. Now, you're going to have to get a master's as well. If you spent all your money getting your undergrad,
yeah.
what are you going to do when it's time to get your graduate yeah. work? And you're going to have all that debt. You can finish a state school, be completely free of debt, and then say, well, I think I'll go get a scholarship to do a master's somewhere else.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It's smart.
Yeah.
It's smart. I also say that no matter where you are in the state, if there's an emergency, mm-hmm. if you need to go home, you can drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your parents can come and get you. You can yeah. drive. If you're in New York, it's a lot more expensive.
Yeah. yeah.
So I don't tell them where to go.
Yeah.
I just tell them my opinion. Yeah. And I said, my opinion is to go to a state school, get all the help you can get, mm-hmm. have all the experiences you can get, and then for your master's, get a TA position somewhere else.
Yeah.
And by that time, they're 21, 22, 23, they're mature enough to deal with not being home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
18,
it's hard.
19,
yeah.
you're away from home, all of these different experiences, it's hard to be grounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of kids, while they have a lot of talent, they're very intelligent, emotionally, they've got some growing up to do.
Sure.
And so it's better that they stay a little closer to home, stay closer in touch with their parents, before they go off to college.
Yeah. yeah.
When they're 21, 22, 23, going off for a master's is not that big of a deal. They're more settled.
Yeah.
I mean, the development is you know, a lot further advanced than someone who's just 18.
Yeah, like they
also
built the foundation.
Know where they want to go and what direction with
yeah.
music. Or
exactly.
if they're like, I loved music, but I really want to do something different. Like, you also have those kind of better options as well,
that's
because you are more emotionally mature to make a lot stronger decisions of whether they need to go to graduate school or not. Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
right. Also, our environment in Tacoma
mm-hmm.
is very supportive.
Okay.
Further east you go, the more dog-eat-dog it becomes.
Mm. Oh.
And some of them are pretty gentle.
Yeah.
And they're not used to that dog-eat-dog mentality.
Yeah, if they're here and they're being nurtured,
yeah.
and then they go away.
Yeah. So I said,
shock.
Don't be in such a... I support them. If you know, we have a lot of kids who
yeah.
are back east, and they're doing well. But I think they're seeing there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
It's not so supportive.
Yeah.
And but we try to. But musically, they're prepared. And every
That's
single
wonderful.
Person who leaves Youth Symphony would be able to get a scholarship musically
yeah.
somewhere.
Very nice.
Yeah. Every single one. And I, you know, have a personal thing about that
mm-hmm.
because I had a music scholarship.
Okay.
You know, my parents were not financially able to do as much as some of the people I went to school with,
mm-hmm.
but they helped, and that was a priority for them. So, but it was a sacrifice.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm very appreciative of my family's sacrifice. But I got scholarships, too, because of the music.
Yeah.
And that really helped. And so for these students, I want them to be good enough to, if they want to, get a scholarship. Here's one thing that people don't realize. When the universities ask you to write an essay,
mm-hmm.
I've been told quite a few times that our students, even though they aren't going into music, write their essay about youth symphony. Mm. And I remember this one young man who is a math major at Princeton.
Okay.
And of course he had a 4.0, but there are 400 other students who had 4.0s. Mm-hmm. But his essay about being in the youth symphony put him ahead.
Wow.
And he got in.
Nice.
A lot of these students get the scholarships, they get in because of the essays that outline their experiences in youth symphony.
Wow.
So they are slowly coming to a point that we already knew, and it's that when a student is playing, their brains are firing on both sides.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, both hemispheres are mm-hmm. firing, and they're just exploding as
yeah.
they're playing. Because music is a cross-hemisphere thing. When you're counting rhythm,
yeah.
When you're outlining a melody, when you're manipulating the instrument to get certain notes, it takes the entire brain to do that. If you've been doing that for 8-9 years, that's one reason why on your SATs you score higher, because your brain is more used to thinking abstractly.
Okay.
And yeah, science is finding out all these things that we've known for a long
time. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because you guys already knew it.
Yeah,
you're using both sides of the brain.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
Science hasn't done that yet. They're coming to it.
Yes. Well, they're coming to it. And it's nice to have scientific fact.
Yeah.
But that's something we already knew.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got this.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So let's say someone hears this podcast and
uh-huh.
they want to begin giving to Tacoma Youth Symphony Association.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Oh my goodness. You know, donations are so important because we only charge the students maybe 30% of what it costs for us to run the organization.
Okay.
So what about this other 70%?
Yeah.
Our executive director, Loma Cobbs, does such a good job securing grants and funding, but individual donations play a huge part to what we do. And the important thing for us is to keep our prices low so that we're affordable. And Tacoma is not necessarily the wealthiest place around, especially some of the kids that we have,
mm-hmm.
although we do have some who with financial means that are quite substantial. But we don't want to leave anyone out.
Yeah.
And so these donations will help us give scholarships. We've even provided instruments for students.
Yeah.
Let's say they have a school instrument, but they've grown beyond that instrument and the family can't afford it. We've often given or rented or loaned students instruments because we want them to be a part of it. No one was ever turned away because they couldn't afford it.
Very nice.
No one was yeah. ever turned away. As long as they're willing to work with us,
mm-hmm.
we'll find a way.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel proud about that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes youth symphonies are looked upon as elitist, and some of them really are, but not in Tacoma, because we have students from every financial background, and we support them. We want them to succeed, because we know that if they go through our program,
mm-hmm.
once they get to college, it's wide open.
Yeah.
You know, that's the equalizer. Once you can get a good education, however you get in, however you can get that good education, whether it's through music or sports or whatever it is. Not everybody is a football player. Not everybody
yeah.
can, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
But everybody can play music.
Yeah.
If they can't play violin, maybe they want to play trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, so you can use that as a vehicle. And along the way, very often kids fall in love with it and want to do that for their
yeah.
for their vocation. We do Discover Music Concerts. We have one tomorrow.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite concerts. And we invite free fourth graders from all around Puget Sound area. We have over 1,000 students for each concert.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. A room full of like 9-year-olds, 1,000 9-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. Well, here's the trick.
I'm really sorry. I think I'm busy tomorrow.
You hit the nail on the head.
That's a lot.
You're going to have to engage them.
Yeah.
You're going to have to. So we find ways to engage them. And I'll run you through the program. So I'll come out and I'll say hi, and they're all excited, you know. And then I introduce myself and the orchestra, and I said, we've been practicing and we're happy to see you. And then I play with them a little bit, and I say, their job is to play, my job is to conduct. What's your job? And I get all these hands. And then you can tell what their teachers have told them. We have to sit and be quiet and not make noise. I said, well, that's true, but what else? Eventually they said, we have to clap. Mm-hmm. So we practice clapping.
Oh.
I said, no, when I turn around and face you and put my hands down, then you clap. Okay? All right. So I turn around, face the orchestra, have my hands up like Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And the orchestra responds to it. Then I turn around. But then I fake them out.
They like that. Yeah.
Now, off to the side, I have a big red bag. I said, you want to see what's in my bag?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I'll make a deal with you. If you can figure out what song goes with whatever's in the bag, we'll play it for you. You hear a pin drop. So I go into my bag. There's these round glasses.
Okay.
And there's the Gryffindor tie.
Oh.
Before I can even get my whole thing up.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, I said. So we'll play Harry Potter.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. That's great.
Next one, put a pirate hat on. Have my sword light. Pirates of the Caribbean. Yes. And then I put my little hunter's hat on, my little pop gun.
Yeah.
Peter and the Wolf. And so Loma Cobbs does the narration for Peter and the Wolf.
Okay.
I said, well, you know, you guys have been so good. This is a time where they will tend to get a little wiggly.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you save the best for last. So then I take out my lightsaber.
Nice.
And I put my Darth Vader helmet on. Star Wars says, yes, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. I made the mistake once of saying long, long ago in a galaxy far away. Oh, they corrected me.
Yeah, yeah.
As they would.
Yeah.
Yep.
The funnest time was when we played Frozen for them.
Oh, yeah.
I had my Olaf hat. So they got Frozen. And so as I was conducting, you had 1,000 fourth graders going back and forth, would you like to build a snowman?
Nice.
All perfectly in tune. Nice. All kind of swaying together.
That's an incredible experience.
But we do those education concerts.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things.
That's wonderful.
Right on.
So... last question that we have for you today is, do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight before we go?
Sure. Our Youth Symphony, which is the top group, is having a very fine concert on February 22nd. That's a Saturday night at Urban Grace Church on Market and 9th Street. And so we're playing Brahms' Second Symphony, which is a gorgeous piece. We're playing Weber's Der Freischütz Overture.
Okay.
And the Freischütz operas about these hunters who sell their souls to get the magic bullets so they can win contests. And it's all in the music. And so, and then we have our concerto winner,
mm-hmm.
who will be playing a piece by Saint-Saëns. Next on the docket, we have our gala,
mm-hmm.
which should be... And it's a 1920s.
So
we're all going to dress up in 20s.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm going to have spats and a top hat. And this is going to be a, it was going to be a secret. I guess it's not going to be a secret now. I'm going to get a little violin case.
Yeah.
You know how the they used to carry their Tommy guns?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get a little, and I'm going to walk around with my violin case like they used to do in the 20s.
Nice.
And so people will want to see what kind of, what I have. They're going to have a conducting baton inside.
That's awesome. Nice. That'll be fun. That'll be very
right
fun.
My weapon of choice.
There you
and
go.
And when is that gala?
The gala is April 3rd.
Okay.
It's a Friday, April 3rd.
Okay.
At the Pantages Theater.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, thank you so much. What is your website, if anybody is also interested
in
finding more information?
It's tysamusic.org.
Okay.
Yeah, tysamusic.org.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Cox,
welcome.
For coming on the podcast and
my
sharing
pleasure.
About Tuttle Symphony.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Yeah. All right, that was our interview with Dr. Paul Elliott Cox. Yes, like we said before, as we were leading into the interview, we are now inspired to play music.
Well, what I think is really cool is like a few different things that he was really touching on, how this youth symphony really brings in every background.
Yeah.
No matter a financial situation, they'll work with you. And mm-hmm. I think that's really important for all kids. And when he was talking about his experience 3 years ago on MLK Day.
Yeah.
Seeing that dream.
Yeah.
And him realizing that right in that moment. And the kids just being like, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And just seeing how far we've come as really a country, but like, you know, nationwide
yeah.
as well. Was just really touching and inspiring, and I think what's really neat is also his story of how he got started,
mm-hmm.
like pick anybody else but me kind of thing,
yeah, yeah.
and to really come to that role of loving it and seeing what he does and being able to help those students grow into where they go and just the success too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's something funny that people I think don't really think about all that much. Like we have songs that. Like nostalgia reasons or that we love the beat, we love the words, we love
mm-hmm.
the sound, right? But then if you find somebody who listens to the same music or loves the same band or loves the same piece of orchestra music, then you instantly connect with them,
mm-hmm.
right? You're like, yes, you're my people, I love you,
yeah.
I trust you, let's go. Let's mm-hmm. be in this journey together.
Yeah.
So it's like music brings people together and we don't often really think about it when we're just going about our day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm.
No, because especially when we're all like got our earbuds in or AirPods, what are they?
You don't even have them. Just say
I
headphones.
Don't. Headphones
just,
is that?
Yeah, just use headphones.
Is headphones is still a thing?
Yeah, it's still a thing.
Yeah,
it's like but,
I'm gonna roll up the window. Headphones,
yeah.
right? So yeah, I mean like
on
we're all
Walkman.
Listening. Yeah, we're all listening to our Walkmans individually and hearing our music.
Yeah,
and our, put our little cassette tape in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it's something that connects people.
It
always.
Is, and I think that was really cool too, as we were just talking about. Kind of a little bit of the science behind it, and I found
yeah.
it pretty amusing because we, that's why we were laughing. Is he's like, we already knew it, and I was like, yeah, you guys knew it ahead of time because you've been playing music, like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and he's just what a great guy,
yeah,
what a great guy,
yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, like, great interview.
Go see him, go
yes.
see their performances,
go see their performances,
yeah,
yeah. So, we'll definitely make sure that that's linked into the podcast page because you guys need to go check out
mm-hmm.
these students and these the youth that are playing,
yeah.
So as far as some upcoming events, we are still working on campaign numbers and wrapping up everything. We're definitely over $5 million this year, so this is yet again another year of
$5
million. What was that, like 15 years in a row now?
I think so. I think
yeah.
we're at 15,
yeah.
16, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been doing well.
Thanks, volunteers and donors to the
yeah.
CFD.
Yay. And then we just got finished having all of the nomination forms come in for all of those volunteers who did amazing fundraisers and
mm-hmm.
amazing work for the CFD and for all the charities that matter. We'll be having those upcoming recognition events. I'll talk about that in a minute. We're going to have an event. DOC actually is really heading it. Unguarded. It is an art auction. Incarcerated artists are going to be providing art. You can go to that event. It is Saturday, February 15th. Starts at 6 p.m.
at?
It's at LeMay, the car museum.
In?
Tacoma.
We should do some commercials.
I know, we should do some commercials.
So speaking of also upcoming, as this is coming out, it will be in the next 2 weeks or so. It's going to start on February 10th. We have our Valentine's Day e-grams going out. That's $2 per gram. Those proceeds do go to the Combined Fund Drive. This is a fun way of, you know, sharing the love and just saying thanks to your coworkers for what they do on this day, kind of, you know, your adult Valentine's Day gram like we do at school. But of course, being paper free about it, so saving the trees. And then next we do, as Heather did touch on, we have recognitions coming up. Snohomish and King County, if you are listening, I hope you are, on March 3rd at the Center for Urban Horticulture, they will be having their event start at 5:30 to celebrate each and every one of you, and also their awards and nominations will be then as well. For Spokane and Whatcom County, we are still working on dates for that, but it's probably going to be towards the end of March or April. We're going to get those set up, and once we do, we'll send volunteers their information on that. For Thurston County and Statewide Awards, we will be doing that in March, and we will get more details with that as well. We're still getting together where we're going to have that at. So once we have those details, you'll see those coming out. If you are volunteers, we do want to make sure that you are connected to the CFD. Make sure your emails are up to date, because we are doing something really cool where we are sending out monthly volunteer emails to be a better resource for you guys. And so please give us feedback, not only here on this podcast, rate and review, but also in those emails as well.
Great. So, yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff starting right before the next campaign gets started. Wrapping up. Moving on. It was a great year, and thank you again so much, volunteers, donors, our charities. We could not do this without any of you.
Yeah, thank you so much to the charities, too, that come and drive all the way down here for this podcast. Call in, take the time to come speak with us, because we just love that we get the opportunity to share their stories, but also learn what's the true needs in Washington.
Yeah, and we get to be inspired as well.
Yep.
Yay. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.